The second case this morning is In Re, the Illinois Central Railroad Company, number 013081. Ms. Lang.
Good morning. May it please the Court. As your honors know, there's quite a number of jurisdictional issues that have been raised by these consolidated appeals. They all focus on one issue that has not been raised by the appeal itself, which is the propriety of the removal. The remainder of the issues really circle around whether or not a federal judge has discretion to remand federal claims.
Well, no. They initially center on whether it's possible in the face of 1447D for reconsideration of a motion to remand when it's prohibited by appeal or otherwise, whether this fits in the narrow, I'm not sure whether to call it an exception or whatever it is, but the common law that began with the Thermtron case and that has moved forward through some other cases in the Supreme Court, where remands for reasons not specified in the statute, such as, you know, a judge deciding he's just too busy, which is what Judge Hermansdorfer did, those the court decided were reviewable. And I guess my initial question to you is why, looking at the entirety of what Judge Holderman did, was not this remand one based on jurisdictional grounds? As you certainly know, raising federal preemption as a defense is not something that gives rise to federal jurisdiction. And the colloquy between you and Judge Holderman appears to me to say you were going to raise it as a defense, hence no jurisdiction. Whether he was right or wrong, of course, being utterly beside the point, if that was his reason for remanding, then we can't look at it.
I would agree that if that was his reason, that he had no subject matter jurisdiction, then he wouldn't. It isn't a question of discretion. The statute, if there is no federal subject matter jurisdiction, he can remand them under 1447C. However, the court, as you know, was starting with the Thermtron decision and moving through several other decisions. They've looked and they've read 1447D, which is actually the provision that says that articles are not remands are not reviewable on appeal or otherwise, and they read it in the context unless the court has remanded for the two reasons set forth, because something about the removal itself was improper, the timing and things like that,
right,
or unless there is a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. Judge Holderman did not remand for that reason. His reasoning was based on the briefs in front of him and then the discussion where all counsel were present. No one else has sought removal. His questioning in that was, I see that no one else has sought removal in this case. And
removal
no
or remand?
Actually, removal. No one.
Well, all defendants have to remove.
Correct.
There's a letter from you in the record.
Absolutely. Everyone consented to the removal.
As you must under the statute.
Right. And no one else responded to the plaintiff's motion to remand. General Electric, as the removing party, was the one that was briefing all the issues as to whether the reason that they removed, whether the complete preemption doctrine actually gave them the grounds for removal. When Judge Holderman, what he said to us was, I see no one else has basically responded to these questions, even though I see some people have raised these issues by way of an affirmative defense. He then asked if the parties that had in fact raised the issue through their affirmative defense wished him to rule on their affirmative defenses. That was the question that was asked of me, and what I responded to him was, well, we have not, which was clarifying, we have not taken a position one way or the other whether General Electric's removal was right or wrong.
Well, the actual colloquy, he says, do you want me to address those, namely the claims for which preemption's been raised, or do you want to just wait as an affirmative defense? And you respond, according to the record anyway, as for a basis for asserting federal jurisdiction, I have taken no position one way or the other. And he then concludes that if preemption is going to be there in the case, it'll be by way of defense. And I would say further, the burden is always on the party seeking to justify federal jurisdiction. So if you're taking no position, there's no way you can satisfy your burden of showing that the case should be remaining in federal court. You don't tell him anything about that at the time.
Actually, what I have done is not told him whether I believe the removal itself is proper, but I go on to say there's no doubt in our mind that federal law controls some, but not all, of the issues.
But if they're defensive issues, there's no ground for jurisdiction.
But they aren't just defensive issues.
But you didn't say that. And you didn't say, here's why this case arises under federal law.
Were you representing Amtrak as well as Illinois Central at that time?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was representing, I had appeared on behalf of the Illinois Central Railroad. I had not filed an answer as to the third-party complaints against Amtrak at the time of the hearing with Judge Holderman, because we had just been served about 4 days before, I think, how it worked out. I did represent Amtrak in two or three cases that had been independently removed by Amtrak on the grounds of their own status as a federal party. So those, to that extent, that those three cases I had appeared in, I was representing Amtrak. The bulk of the cases, I was representing the Illinois Central only at that point, although I would be appearing for Amtrak.
Wouldn't that have made a difference in terms of jurisdiction?
Certainly Amtrak's presence, absolutely. By the time Judge Holderman had ruled, he had before him complaints that weren't answered yet, because mm-hmm. the time hadn't run. But certainly the issues were raised already, because merely the presence of that third-party defendant created the federal subject matter jurisdiction.
And nobody brought that to his attention at that point.
No, no one did.
Although that would have iced it, wouldn't it?
Well, the presence of Amtrak, absolutely. At the time we were standing there, by putting it into issue, the third-party plaintiffs had sought leave to bring Amtrak in, and we just hadn't answered. But certainly their presence created all the subject matter jurisdiction Judge Holderman needed, and nothing was said as to discussing, no, we don't wish to be in federal court. As far as Amtrak, certainly that was never said. Moving back for the Illinois Central, and at the end of the discussion, in fact, I indicated to Judge Holderman the issues were the same, meaning the ideas of the broad scope of, in our case, the Federal Rail Safety Act, in General Electric's case, the Locomotive Inspection Act. The issues were the same, and he might as well rule.
But it still worries me that this looks awfully like a jurisdictional remand to me, and there's another distinction that I think is important. Sometimes when a claim arises under federal law, it's perfectly okay to remove it. The federal statutes give you that ability. And there could even be only federal law in the area, but the fact that a claim arises under federal law isn't the same thing as deciding which court has jurisdiction to hear it. Sometimes federal courts have exclusive jurisdiction to hear federal law issues, as in antitrust and some securities claims, some ERISA claims. Sometimes, in fact, much more commonly, their jurisdiction is concurrent. So if Judge Holderman remanded a case that arises under federal law, perhaps as you're arguing under the Safety Act, it doesn't necessarily mean that the state court doesn't also have jurisdiction to resolve that claim. Usually they have concurrent jurisdiction.
Usually they do. The Federal Rail Safety Act is one that, in fact, we do not believe that they do have.
You've never argued anything about that in these briefs. Well, you've argued whether there's a claim, whether there's complete preemption.
Correct. We have not stated in our briefs that, in fact, the Federal Rail Safety Act would have given us grounds to remove. We have not placed that issue because it wasn't an issue in the lower court.
But you see the distinction I'm drawing. Grounds to remove is one thing. Saying that this is the kind of case that can only be heard in federal court is another thing.
I agree with that. And if the if a party does not remove the case, certainly if I were sued in state court, mm-hmm. it would be the option of a party to not remove it. If they haven't raised it, a state court is not going to shoo us off to federal court saying, no, I can't hear this. But once the issues are in fact raised by way of pleading, in this case General Electric took the spearhead and said the complete preemption, we our answers raised that we did in fact believe that federal law was what the plaintiffs have going here, but we did not remove it on our own. As an aside, there was a very good reason, which was the parties at that time were not consenting to the removal.
Continue your answer, please.
I just say, I think that the, I believe it's the Rossner case, actually addressed one of the situations where a party participates in a state court and then removes the case after participating. I believe that was a TRO hearing at that time. And I think Rossner is important for two reasons. One, it addresses the issue of whether or not this concept of waiver, which is what I think we're all circling around, whether that is actually one of the reasons set forth in 1447C, and this circuit has already held it is not. That waiver is one of those, if you can see it, if it's so extreme, it might be one of the discretionary grounds, but it has to be quite extreme.
This gets me back to the question I wanted to ask. You were asked initially, was this a remand on jurisdictional grounds, and you said no, and then I don't think you really had an opportunity to say how you would characterize this remand. How would you characterize it?
I think this remand was actually very much like the remand in Thermtron, in which Judge Holderman perhaps mistakenly thought he had discretion to remand just because no one else had put any issues before him. He did not consider, and it's clear in his complaint, he never looked at the scope of the Federal Rail Safety Act, and perhaps even more importantly, he never looked at the status of Amtrak.
Was this, in his view, a waiver of any argument on subject matter jurisdiction? In other words, nobody's going to tell me that there's a basis for federal subject matter jurisdiction here, and therefore I'm not going to go hunting for one. Goodbye.
I think, in fact, he said, I'm not going to go hunting. He made no consideration one way or the other.
You do have precedent to say a district judge doesn't have to go hunting for federal subject matter jurisdiction.
Actually, I think, in some sense, he does have to go hunting. Two of the circuits have directly addressed that issue, where the removing party was subsequently dismissed and the judges remanded, just saying, that's it, go away. The Brockner, I think they're both cited in our case, the Buchner case and the Brockman case, and the courts have squarely held the judge, once Congress or once a statute authorizes jurisdiction, a district judge just simply doesn't have the discretion to ignore that. If it's there, he must take it.
If it's there, do you see it? Could he see it in this case?
He didn't look. It really, I think, is what happened. He didn't look. He was faced with 50 cases.
Well,
I think it's very.
He didn't tell him about the Amtrak. Cases.
Well, at that time, it wasn't, I guess I need to back up, at that time it was never placed at issue. Judge Holderman, when he had us all there, never once said to any party there, and I think that really gets to the heart of whether there was waiver, he never once said, all right, if I find removal proper, and if I then dismiss the removing party, is there any party here that suggests that I still have federal subject matter jurisdiction such that I must keep this case, or does anyone object to a remand? That question was absolutely never put to any of the parties.
Maybe not in so many words, but I have to say, reading through all the transcripts that I've looked at, it looks to me like he was trying pretty hard to find out, who's putting what on the table and what kind of, how broad an order. He says, I have a draft order, I'm going to run it by the other judges who've had pieces of this case. He talks about that that's a rather unusual procedure. So, I'm worried about requiring district judges have exactly a formula of words come out of their mouths.
Well,
looks to me like he's trying to get at it.
Well, and in fact, I'm not sure he was trying to. I really think he called us in because what had happened the day before was there was word that perhaps a settlement that no one knew about had been affected, and he was trying to get to the heart of that, whether or not he had to rule on the removal of some other cases. Not the ones that were at issue with the General Electric ones and the ones that we are here for, but five or six other cases that had been removed by a different party. That party was withdrawing it, so he was trying to clarify it. And then in the context of, okay, so if I don't have to rule on that, does anyone want me to rule on their affirmative defense? That's exactly what he was asking us. And at the end of the day, I said yes. So even if eventually you want to work your way through the argument, eventually the answer was yes, you should rule on it because we are here and the issues are the same. That isn't the clear and unequivocal statement of an intention not to be here in federal court after I had consented to
be here. Ms. Lyon, what were the two cases you said required the district judge to make that inquiry?
It was in, I believe it's the Fifth and the Ninth Circuit, if I'm not mistaken. It's Brockman and Buchner, B-U-C-H-N-E-R. Both of them involved the FDIC. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Lyon. We'll hear now from Mr. Demetrio.
May it please the Honorable Court, I'm Michael Demetrio, Corbin Demetrio, on behalf of the plaintiffs, appellees in this matter. I think the heart of this matter is answered by a statement that I just heard, and that is this. It is abundantly clear, both from the record and what we heard, that this is not a matter of complete preemption field preemption. Therefore, no subject matter jurisdiction existed below in the first place, which means that Judge Holderman properly remanded the cases once he made the determination that the Locomotive Inspection Act was out of the case. He did so properly within his discretion and pursuant to well-established authority. Amtrak was not in this case on June 26th of 01. Therefore, that is basically, I would submit to the court, a red herring. They were never part of the case. What happened below was Judge Holderman made a distinct inquiry, and on the very issue that is germane here, federal subject matter jurisdiction, IC decided not to assert it. Therefore, without federal subject matter jurisdiction in the case, there was nothing to do but to remand the actions back to the Circuit Court of Cook County. These cases started in 1999.
Can I ask you whether you think the Circuit Court of Cook County, if there were a finding, as the Illinois Central is now arguing, that it, like the Locomotive Act, completely preempts this area as to things that are covered by regulations, could that claim be adjudicated by the Circuit Court of Cook County?
Well, certainly, and the case authority is abundant on that matter, Judge Wood, because that is what is referred to as conflict preemption. They're raising a defense to a state court claim. They're entitled to do it. It happens every day in the Circuit Court of Cook County.
Oh, I certainly understand that about conflict preemption. What if the Circuit Court of Cook County, after briefing, decided that there was quote-unquote complete preemption? Could it decide the federal issue that is necessarily presented if there's complete preemption, or is there exclusive jurisdiction in the federal court for such a case?
No, any defense that arises under a federal statute in the railroad area, whether it be complete or conflict, the Circuit Court of Cook County, in this case Judge Evans, could resolve that issue.
So there's no language in the Rail Safety Act that says only the federal courts may decide claims pertaining to this statute?
Absolutely not, which is why on many occasions courts throughout the country do in fact remand cases in railroad crossing instances. And railroad crossing cases are tried every day in state courts from around the country, including our own down the street. And that in essence is the crux, because on June 26, no federal subject matter jurisdiction existed. The case was properly remanded. When the motion for reconsideration came along, the same situation existed. But more importantly, under, again, well-established authority, that motion to reconsider, which was the first pleading ever made by IC in this matter within a federal district court, was properly denied for two reasons. One, procedurally, it was wrong. The case authority is well-established that you can't come in on a motion to reconsider on a grounds which you had the opportunity to raise in the first instance. The record in this case, on easily found at 839 of the defendant's brief, could not be clearer that Judge Holderman invited, and I would respectfully disagree that the federal jurisdiction vis-a-vis IC was so abundantly clear in this case that anyone would see it. I believe the opposite is true. It's not there. But more importantly, Judge Holderman didn't have to go digging around for it. But he, in fact, invited counsel for IC to make a point on the issue of jurisdiction. And the quote is, with respect to federal subject matter jurisdiction, we're not taking a position. Therefore, to then come in on a motion to reconsider and say, oops, now we say there is federal subject matter jurisdiction on some but not all claims is not proper for granting a motion to remand. And I think that statement is telling also in the sense that there couldn't be complete field preemption in this case when the defendants themselves recognize, whether rightly or so, or assert, I should say, because I certainly would not agree with the statement, that some of these are state court claims under whatever act, and some are, there's a federal preemption defense.
Can I ask you this? The order of remand is something like June 26th, and it says the case is to be remanded forthwith.
Correct.
When did it show, when was that actually implemented? Had that been implemented by the time?
It was implemented forthwith.
So, and like that afternoon, somebody dragged the record back to the Circuit Court of Cook County.
That's correct, because under the local rules of the district court below you, that is exactly the procedure to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
So these cases, by order, were out of the Northern District Court on June 26th.
So by the time the motion to reconsider filed July 6th comes along, the Circuit Court of Cook County has the case back. Are you familiar with any case where a federal court has then brought a case back up from state court on a motion for reconsideration?
No, and as we pointed out, as another point is, there were no cases pending before Judge Holderman at that time of the motion to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, he decided to exercise a rule that is longstanding in the district, not often used, but in this case he found compelling because of the lack of federal subject matter jurisdiction, I would suggest. And the cases did indeed go back and have gone back and proceeded before Judge Evans in the Circuit Court of Cook County. And discovery, both liability and damages, has been ongoing ever since. I think, barring any other questions from the court, I did cover the points that I was looking to cover, other than, as although it did not come up in Ms. Lang's argument, the defendant's IC's position with respect to the 60B6 motion, I would respectfully suggest, is not well-founded also, because they have in no way met any criteria that what happened was in extraordinary circumstances of any kind. Quite to the contrary, it's a not unusual occurrence whatsoever. So that I don't believe that would serve as a basis to anyway reverse Judge Holderman's June 26, 2001 order. All right, any questions? My thanks to the court.
So thank you, Mr. Demetrio. Ms. Lang will make that a complete minute.
I guess if I can, I'd like to address one of the questions that you were asking Mr. Demetrio as to the exclusive jurisdiction of the court, whether it lies within the federal courts. And I think I would like to tailor that I don't, it's our position that's really not what we're focusing on here, whether or not a state court can even apply federal law. I think what we need to distinguish between exclusive jurisdiction and once a case is properly removed, whether or not the court has discretion to remand federal claims. And I think for all the reasons that have been cited in our brief, and including the statements from the United States Supreme Court, that's just not discretionary. For that reason, I think that Judge Holderman did, in fact, remand these improperly. I think under the law, this circuit is interpreting 1447C and D. Even if he remanded them finding a waiver, that is not a bar to appellate review, and certainly not to the motion to reconsider either, because it is not strictly a jurisdictional ground. It's one of those that can be considered discretionary outside the scope of a bar to review. If you have no other questions, I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks to both Ms. Lang and Mr. Demetrio. The case will be taken under advisement.